I'm with Sam Quiñones, the author of Dreamland and others. Sam, can you talk about Kentucky's unique position in the opioid crisis, what their role, what the state's role has been?
Well, I think Kentucky has been right at the center of all this in a lot of ways, particularly the eastern part and the northern Kentucky area of the state have been very important in all this. I think one reason that that's the case is because pharmaceutical company marketing of pain pills really began in the area surrounded by northern border would be like Columbus over to Cincinnati, down into eastern Kentucky, eastern Tennessee. That whole region was really like one of the first places that they began to really heavily promote this. And one of the reasons I believe they did that was because they had data showing that a lot of doctors in those areas, in that very general area, were already prescribing a lot of other kinds of pills. So if they prescribed a lot of other kinds of pills, they were probably going to be easy to convince to prescribe more narcotic painkillers, opioid painkillers. And I think that was a big thing about it. And then I also think that there was certain economic conditions that were at work that were also important. Decline in just in manufacturing in general was a big part of it, I think. There was a beginning that had been going on for a while of a kind of a shredding of community, I think, in a lot of areas that was caused by the decline of jobs and so on. And all of this made that very general area, which eastern Kentucky was a big part, really kind of ripe for this problem to begin. I would say northern Kentucky was a tad later, but not a whole lot later. And that's other reasons, I think, where it worked there. I think, again, you see in northern Kentucky, part of the problem was what we see in other parts of the country was the isolation that you find in a lot of suburban areas, not a lot of connectivity maybe. And then, of course, by very quickly doctors beginning to prescribe a lot of these pills, you began to find medicine cabinets full of them, and every year prescribing more and more and more. And all of those reasons, I think, are why you saw this part of the country first affected. But what, of course, is now happening is, and has happened after that, is that this region is in no way alone anymore. Many, many other parts of the country went through the whole pill problem. Now, of course, the latest waves are, well, after pills came heroin, early, mid-2000s. Then in 2010, when OxyContin became reformulated, a lot more people began switching to heroin. By the mid-2000s, though, you began to see Mexican drug trafficking groups understand that there was a new, brand new opiate market and begin to shift their production to heroin to be able to, the supply of pills had created a new market, and they were going to then satisfy that with heroin. And of course now you have fentanyl and methamphetamine, which are also now problems which grow out, but it all grows out of that same issue of overprescribing of pain pills, which is kind of where the roots of all this.
What do you think people or the general public, what do they not understand about the opioid crisis in this country?
Well, I would say it depends on where you are, but I would say in this part of the country there's a lot that people do understand because they've been living with it for quite some time now. I think one thing though that is I have concluded due to just simply being exposed to this thing for a long, long time is the importance of particularly local community involvement, that there is really no substitute for that, and that it will not solve the problem immediately. It may take a long time, and that there is no one solution to it. Too often in America, I think, maybe it's just human nature, to want a very easy solution that will take care of all our problems. And that is really not what this epidemic is all about. I think this epidemic, in fact, in certain ways is calling on us to recognize that we're too isolated, that we're too fragmented, and that the way to combat it is to come together in ways that we have had trouble doing in the last 20 or plus years or 30 years or so. And so I think that it's a reliance on that, the local community involvement, involving far more people than used to be involved in any kind of drug fight, you know, is kind of what this epidemic is calling on us to do, I think. And so these are some of the things I think that have hit me, you know, as I've done these stories, as I've been involved in this, I've written the book, and then since then, as I've traveled around the country, just seems now very clear to me that the way we move forward in fits and starts, not perfectly by any means, messily, in fact, a lot of times, is through community involvement and leveraging all those talents in a certain, say, county or region or what have you, to come together and add their perspective, their energies, their talents to this, and that's through that we'll find the solutions adequate to each area, each county or region or what have you, that allow us to move forward on that.
Where does one draw the line between this being a criminal justice issue and a public health issue?
Oh, I think it's very messily mixed. It's very easy to see part of it as a criminal justice issue. You have certain drug companies, certain doctors performing in ways that a jury might well consider to be criminal. You have also, therefore creating an enormous supply of narcotics that was unprecedented, really, in this country. Just huge amount of narcotics all across this country, which was the instigator of this whole problem. And then, of course, you have trafficking in a variety of ways, in terms of pills, in terms of heroin, and you have a variety of involvement, a lot of involvement in certain elements of the underworld. On the other hand, of course, we have the public health aspect. Almost to any drug issue, the public health aspect is huge. It's just such an important element to understand that this is a public health thing, and some of the most effective ways we have of combating it is treating it almost like an illness or a virus or something, and mass education and provision of Narcan is one thing that I've seen is very interesting to watch. That's really a public health response. But then it's not just provision of Narcan in the smarter areas. It's not just reviving people. It's reviving people and saying, now we have another option for you, because the fact that you overdosed is not isolated. It's not a small thing. We need to understand that if you're overdosing and we're reviving you, that you are in some serious trouble, and it's now time to find ways. And we cannot continue to revive and revive and revive without trying to find people a way out. And so I think the public health aspect to this is always huge. And in this one, what's interesting to me is watching how those two mesh. So now you're finding judges and cops working kind of like public health workers or social workers in some way. You know, they're not quite the same thing as maybe cops and judges were 15, 20 years ago. But that's what this epidemic is also calling on us to do, is kind of question old ways of doing business, so to speak. You know, and that's what we're seeing here.
You're going to be speaking at the University of Kentucky on Thursday. Yeah. And what do you want your big takeaway to be from the people that hear you speak?
I guess I always want people to understand the roots of how this happened. To understand our own personal accountability and how this all happened, that we have an accountability, each of us. And a lot of that came because we, as Americans, as a culture, began to demand miracles from doctors without having to do any of the work ourselves. We wanted them to cure our pain, fix our pain. When they said, well, you know, part of what you really need to do is get more exercise and eat better and not drink those liter bottles of Pepsi and what have you. We as a culture now kind of rebelled against that. And I would hope that people will understand that as part of this, we need to address what it is we consume, how we behave, and how we behave with regard to our own body. And don't expect miracles from doctors if we're not willing to put in the work, the personal accountability. I would also hope people would come away with an understanding, too, or feeling, too, that we do not come anywhere close to solving this very complicated, very difficult problem without a deep community involvement of all folks. And I suppose college folks, students, faculty, staff, would be a big part of that, you know, that, their input, their energy is really needed in all this. And if we don't have that, it's going to be very difficult to find a way out of that. So those kinds of things are some of the things that I started this as I believe I was writing a book about drug trafficking from Mexico and drug marketing from pharmaceutical companies. And that's certainly a big part of the story, but I came to believe it was much bigger than that. It was about community, destruction of community, isolation, and that therefore the way out of it is kind of an attempt to rebuild that kind of stuff.
I thank you very much for your time, Sam.
My pleasure. Great to be in Kentucky.